I got a crazy title tonight. In between time. What do you do in between time? What am I talking about? Well, you know, we have around here, some places they don't, but around here we have four seasons, and right at the end of each season, there's sort of an in-between time. Like when the heat of the summer starts, I mean, man, right toward the end, it starts getting unbearable. The plants are all wilting, and everybody, you're just waiting for fall. That's sort of in-between time. You ever know that between each season we have that? And, you know, there's a planting time and then a harvest time, but there's an in-between time between that. There is a starting and a finishing. You know, in spiritual things, it's the same way. It's often how well we do in the in-between times, whether we receive or not. See, there's a time to pray and receive, but what are you going to do in between that time? There's a time to speak the word, and then it may be an in-between time before that comes into fruition in your life. You know, you may be standing in the name of Jesus and his authority against the devil, but there's an in-between time before the battle's over a lot of times. You know, now, Mark 11, 12 through 20 talks about how Jesus dealt with the victory. Now, I'm not going to go on down to other, but I want you to notice that it didn't change instantly. There was an in-between time from the time he spoke to the fig tree until you saw something happen. About a little over 24-hour period, I believe it would be, if you go in there and check it. You know, now some people would have camped out beside the tree waiting to see if it was going to happen. You know, Jesus didn't. He didn't even bother. Even the next day when he was going back by, he didn't even bother to call attention to it. It was one of the disciples that called attention to it. He wasn't, because he expected to get what he said. The in-between time, you got to keep you expecting on and act like it, whether you see it, feel it, taste it, touch it, smell it, whatever, you got to act like it's there, whether you see it or not. You know, of course, we all know Mark 11:24, therefore saying to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them, whatever, you shall have them, right? This verse tells us to believe that we have what we have received when we pray. Faith doesn't always produce an instant manifestation. Oh, that hit some of you sideways, but it's the truth. Faith does not always give an instant manifestation, but if you'll stay in faith in the in-between time, you'll get a manifestation. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on now. You know, many people start well, but they don't finish strong. In track, you know, I ran track. I started running track in junior high school. And I like track. In fact, if it comes on the TV, I always watch it because I just like it. Of course, I like football, basketball, and baseball. I like it all. My wife gave me a card one time, said, "A man of all sports." In fact, she says she had to learn about sports because that's all I was ever interested in is sports. But, you know, you go out the first day and you're doing some running some laps, and you know the coach told you to run so many laps, and the new guys, they always start out with they always start running good. Us guys have been around a while, we know, hey, this we got to run a mile, we got to run four laps. That's around that track. So we're not going like they are. But after about two laps, we pass them. And we finish strong because we know that's what the coach wants. Some of them don't even finish. Any of you guys run track? Anybody know what I'm talking about? But it don't take very long. They get smart. But it's not how you start sometimes. It's how you finish. You know, in the Olympics that they had in Mexico City, what was that, 68, I think it may have been. I can't remember the exact date, but it was the Olympics they had. And there was a runner from one of the African countries that was running the marathon. That's 26 miles, and then you got to run a lap around the track once you come into the stadium. So the race had been over about an hour. It was the last thing. They were shutting down everything, and all of a sudden they heard the sirens of the police escort. And this guy came through the gate, bleeding, hobbling. I don't know, anybody see that? Some of you might have if you watch the Olympics. And he was hobbling around the track, and some of them wanted to go, no, because he didn't want to get disqualified. And he went around the track, and the reporter went up to him after the race and said, "Why didn't you stop? It's an hour." Everybody else saw that because he'd fallen, I don't know how many times, and everything else. I think he had hurt his ankle and he had blood on his legs. And he said, "My country didn't send me thousands of miles just to start a race. They sent me thousands of miles to finish a race." And I thought that's a good thing. Hey, sometimes I've seen people start out talking about how much they're believing God and what, whoa, blah, 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 blah. And you see them when it didn't happen like they, as quick as they thought it should, and then they're all down. See, that's that in-between time. You see, to receive the prize at the end of the race, you have to achieve things in the natural, and spiritually you do have to do the same thing. Not everything happens overnight or immediately. In the natural, there's often a period of time between when you start something and when you finish it. Spiritually, there sometimes is a period of time between when you pray and ask God for something and when you actually receive it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, I got about 15 people that have had that. I could raise both hands. I see Al over here raise both feet and both hands. You know, what we need to realize is that the devil, our enemy, will do everything he can in that in-between time to get us out of faith so that we won't receive what God has for us. If he can get you just to 1 minute, 1 second to begin to doubt it, you're in trouble. That in-between time is something else. Hebrews 6, I'm going to read the NLT first and then I'll read the King James, New King James. Hebrews 6:12. "Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance." Patience. You could say patience there. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. "Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath on his own name, saying, 'I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number.' And then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God promised." New King James says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promise. "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you and multiply, and multiplying, I will multiply you.' And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Verse 12 said Abraham received the promise through faith and endurance. And then in the, that's in the NLT, the King James said faith and patience. Said he patiently endured. You know, faith and faith and patience or endurance had something to do with Abraham receiving the blessing. You know, that's a lot different from what people today, mentality of our society today is convenience and have it now. You know, there's some people, if there's a line at you go through the drive-through window, if there's a line, they won't even get in line. Or if they go in the restaurant and you have to wait, they won't wait. They'll go to another restaurant. Because everybody don't want to have that in-between time. You know, my dad used to say, God doesn't settle up every Friday. Anybody ever heard him say that? I'm looking at a bunch of people that sat in under his ministry. But however, if you'll stay with what God said, payday will come. You know, some people think the faith message is a ticket to instant whatever you want. That's not so. Again, I notice I've been preaching on faith a lot here lately, but that's what my first class that I teach when school starts is Faith Library. So I've been teaching about faith. So I guess when you're doing that, you'll just preach about it too, because that's what I've been studying is faith. Although I've studied it for years now, and I live with the man that they call the father of the modern day faith message. He hated that title, but he endured it. He didn't like it at all. In fact, he would correct some people sometimes. Sometimes he'd just sit there and I'd be beside him. I could tell he was gritting his teeth, wishing they'd just be quiet. Because he would say, all I'm doing is telling people what the Word of God says. I'm not the father in anything. But now, I want us to look at some things here. That how Abraham received this promise after a period of time. In that 6:12 there, it says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you follow the example of those who are going to inherit the promises because of their faith and endurance. So, he's telling us here, then we need to follow Abraham's example of the two things, faith and endurance or faith and patience. Man, now, faith is an exciting word. Man, wow. Patience is not a very exciting word. In fact, most people would rather you not mention it because it means you have to wait. You know, of course, my birthday was in September, and my driver's license is up at the end of this month. I had to renew them. Well, has anybody here tried to renew a license or go get license in Oklahoma? There's a backup. I checked with two or three different tag agencies, and they said, well, we might could get you in by November. Because there's a whole big backup because of the new law with the ID card and on ID deal and so forth. Well, I keep checking around, and finally, somebody told me about, I guess, one of these tag offices not used very often, and so I went there, and I went in, and they said, "You want to renew your license?" I said, "Yes." They said, well, there's a waiting list, but we're taking walk-ins. We're the only one that's taking walk-ins, but now you got a waiting list. Said it'll be about 2 hours or 2 or 3 hours. Give us your phone number. We'll call you, and then you can come back. Well, I went to the house, and I'm sitting there. Finally, I ring upstairs to her on the intercom because I was down in my office, and she is up in hers upstairs. And I said, listen, it's been 2 hours. I hadn't got a call. And I know they're going to close. It's already after 4. I know they're going to close. And I'm just going to go back down there and wait in the office. I mean, I was waiting, but not real patiently. So I go down and I walk in and they said, "We were just fixing to call you. You're next." Well, I thought next would be just a minute or two. No, they were working with one. But it takes, if you got to go do it, it takes a while. And then besides that, you got to have your passport, your birth certificate, your social security card. You got to have all kinds of things that identify who you are. And if it's got your picture and your address on it, it's better. But I had to patiently wait. I, most of the time, am not real patient. I like to make things happen. But you know what? I found out through the years in working with God is that He expects you to be patient. Endure. Some people pray a quick prayer. Oh, Lord, give me patience. In my class, I've been talking about faith is not a lone spiritual entity. Faith is not the Lone Ranger. It doesn't work alone. We need to recognize and utilize faith's companions. Galatians 5:6 speaks of faith and love. And Mark 11, we read through 25 through 20, through 22 through 25. And nobody ever reads 25, but it talks about faith and forgiveness. Everybody wants to stop at 24 because that's all the exciting part. It's like patience. That's not exciting. Forgiveness is not exciting, but faith is believing God and getting receiving. But faith and forgiveness. Hebrews 6:12 says of faith and patience. And then we go over to 1 Peter 5. And I have a sermon that I hadn't preached it in years called The Other Side of And. And if you read that, it says, "And add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love." Now the NLT says it like this: supplement your faith with a generous portion of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness. That's a small g now. Godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. That sounds to me like Peter's telling you, add to your faith or supplement your faith with these things. If your faith is going to work, you got to have all of these things working with you in the in-between time. Come on now. Sometimes people think just by doing one of these things, they'll get one. No, it doesn't work that way. Faith doesn't work alone. It works with a number of things. When we exercise faith, we must not neglect all of these other things. Faith, it says, works by love. Faith works by love. Then we saw here where it works with some other stuff too. You know, faith works with endurance or patience. You know, say it with me. Through faith and endurance, I can receive the promises of God. Now, Abraham exercised faith to receive the promises. There in 6:12 it says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, follow the example of those that inherited the promises because of their faith. Here, it's telling us if you're not careful, you can become spiritually dull and let down on your believing. Let down on your saying what the Bible says. Some people call it confession. I call it just saying what the Bible says. Now, if you go back into Genesis 15, you'll see the Lord said to him, know your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took him outside, Abram outside, and told him, look at the sky and count the stars if he could. And that's how many descendants you'll have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Now, here, then his name is changed to Abraham, which means the father of many. And he is also called the father of faith because he exercised his faith to receive from God what God had promised him. Now, the Word of God tells us that we are in Galatians 3, 7:29, and the 7 and verse 29, that we are the seed of Abraham, and that because we have become in Christ, we have become the adopted sons and daughters in Abraham's lineage. The lineage of faith. Now, other people are in his lineage naturally. We become in the lineage of Abraham in faith, believing God. But Abraham didn't get it all immediately. You know, some people might think, well, that's too hard. Man. We need to realize it's only by faith that you're going to get it. You're not going to get it any other way. You're not going to get good enough. You're never going to get enough knowledge. It's simply by faith, by believing what God said. You hear me say it all the time. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Period. God's promises are there for all of us. Why do you see some people getting more of the promises of God than you do other people? Anybody ever notice that some people have gotten more? Number one, they learn how to use their faith in the in-between times. I had the privilege of growing up in the house of the man that I watched do this. Once he made a statement believing God for a certain thing, I don't care if it was 3 years, he never recanted on it. He kept right on saying, the promises of God say that I can have this, I have asked God for it, and I will receive it. And he just kept praising God. You know, some people ask me sometimes, they don't anymore, but used to, what's it like growing up in his house and being his son? And when I was younger, in 18, 19, 17, they'd ask me that. I used to, just on purpose, I would give some crazy answer, you know. You know, I thought, if you're dumb enough to ask that kind of question, I'm gonna give you a really good answer. I think I was about 18, maybe 17, maybe I was 18. I was traveling with him out on the road, single, and because I didn't get married until I was 26. And so these people would come up and they asked me all kinds of questions, you know. And finally, one guy come up and he said, oh, I'm sure it's just great to be there in the house with Brother Hagin, and he's praying all the time and quoting the word all the time. I said, they don't quote the word none. We watch football and baseball. His face almost turned white. I mean, I didn't tell him any different either. I was working the book table. Hey, I started working the book table when I was young, traveling with him on the road. I mean, I'm 15, 16 years old, you know, and traveling in the summer with him. People come up, ask you questions. People even come up and say, can I touch you? Well, you know, if it was one of them 16-year-old girls, that'd be fine, you know. You guys are laughing. You'd have been the same way. Don't laugh at me. Tony, you'd have been the same way. But what good is it going to do them to touch me? Yeah, I've been asked that before. I'm always... Back then, I always had something to say to them. But you see, you've got to learn how to believe God in the in-between times. See, people get the idea, like Dad and his faith, oh, he don't ever, it always happens instantly. No, it don't. If you read his books, you can read and see how it took him a while to learn how to believe. No, he knew how to believe for healing, but it took him a while to get it for the finances. I know, I lived that one. That wasn't no fun. Abraham exercised endurance or patience. Hebrews 6:12 says, follow the example of those who go and inherit it because of their faith and endurance. And then 15:15 says, and Abraham waited patiently and received what God had promised. Abraham did not receive it overnight. It was a number of years. Different chronological reports, they give, there's several different, you know, several different times. Some people say 17 years. Some people say 25 years. It's different. I don't know if you've ever gone in and studied the chronological things that happen in the Bible. In fact, if you got one of those Bibles that tells you when it was written, you go to two or three or four different Bibles that have that in there, and they'll all have a different date. Anybody ever notice that? Because it depends on what chronological report they want to believe. The important thing is to realize that God told Abraham, spoke to Abraham, and it was a long time until he actually received a promise. But he continued to exercise his faith in patience, endurance. Sometimes people have mistaken idea that patience is one thing. Patience is not passively sitting around doing nothing. Patience is not having an attitude, well, I'm doing without it until God decides to give it to me. Patience is not, I'm just trying to bear up best I can. I think some people pray to the Lord, said, Lord, give me some patience and give it to me now. Patience is that, now I want you to get a hold of this. Patience is that dynamic force that keeps you steadily aimed in the direction of the promises of God until you receive it. Adding patience and endurance to your faith will cause you not to lack anything. James 1:4. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. That's the NLT. NIV says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The Voice translation says, and true patience brought on by endurance will equip you to complete the long journey cross the finish line, mature, complete, and wanting nothing. Patience helps you to persevere in that in-between time. You know, tell your neighbor, faith and patience will get you what you need from God. I said it a while ago, I'm going to say it again. Patience is important. It will keep you steady in the in-between time. From the time you believe you receive to the time you have. Hello, anybody understand what I'm trying to say to you tonight? You've got to resist the urge to become upset when what you prayed for isn't there immediately or as quickly as you think it should be. Don't question God's word just because you're in the in-between time. Just keep believing God. Don't give up just because you hadn't seen it yet. Just keep going. The in-between time, you got to keep that switch turned on, the switch of faith turned on. You know, I got a switch right here. I got a little transmitter on my belt. See, that's 62 years of preaching and learning and having to do it a lot of times without amplification and not strain your voice, but to push it from down here. The reason you hear some of those old Pentecostal preachers that have a gravelly voice is because they preach without a microphone and they just use their here and they didn't push it from down here. Anybody that's ever taken any singing lessons know that you have to push from down there. But hey, if you want electric lights in here, there's a switch back there and somebody has to keep that switch turned on or we're going to be in the dark. And let me tell you something. If they turn all the lights out in this auditorium, it's dark. I mean, I have come through the back and come out on the platform and it's dark. I know where certain things are, and I know that there's some steps, and so I've managed to get over here, but I'm very careful to get, because I got to get back there to turn the lights on, because it's dark. See, you don't keep the switch of faith turned on, then it gets dark, and then you wonder why you're in the dumps, and why you're down, and why you're this and why that. Keep the switch of faith turned on in the between times. Keep the switch of faith turned on by, how do you do it? You keep the switch of faith turned on in the in-between times by praising God that you have it. Don't see it, but you have it. You keep the switch turned on in the in-between times by thanking God for what he's done for you. You keep the switch of faith turned on in the in-between time by quoting the word of God concerning what you're believing God for. You know, some of you may be in the in-between time right now. Well, let me tell you what. Keep on praising God for the answer. Keep on thanking God for the answer. Keep on quoting the word of God until you have the answer. And I believe as you believe the word of God and are willing to be patient and endure and do your part by keeping the switch of faith turned on, God will do his part and you'll receive what you're believing for. Well, praise the Lord. It's 8:02. They tell me I don't need to go overtime, and I went overtime, what, last week was it? I went over the week before last, I went overtime. And I got reprimanded for going overtime. Now you say, well, why? Because, you see, there's kids back here. And if I go too long, then you talking out here and you don't go get them, and the people that are taking care of the kids can't go home till you come and get your kids. Hello now. Those people say, hey, tell them come get their kids and then talk. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Everybody stand up. Say this with me. I believe through faith and endurance or patience, I will receive whatever the Word of God says I can have. Now, thank Him for that right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You for it. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord.